Well, good evening and welcome to our midweek service. This is Pastor Stephen Baker, and tonight we'll be concluding the book of Philippians. And we've had a great study over these last several weeks as we've looked through this book. And tonight's message is entitled Final Greetings. And it's Philippians chapter 4, verses 21 through 23. So final greetings, Paul's final greetings to the church. And first, we're going to look at some prayer requests. So tonight, we want to continue to pray for Miss Althea in her recovery from her surgery. And we want to be in special prayer this evening for Miss Shirley. And Miss Shirley's sister went home to be with the Lord. And so we want to pray for Bob and Shirley during this time. And Bob's having some health problems, so we want to pray for him and his health. But we just want to pray for that whole family and that God will give them strength and peace during this time. We want to pray for all those who are sick. We want to pray for all our shut-ins. It was good to see Miss Lois in church recently, and Miss Lois is having a lot of health problems, and it's hard for her to get up her strength to come to church. But we pray that God will bless Miss Lois and just strengthen her and help her. And we just pray for all the members of our church that are sick, those who have lost loved ones, those facing cancer. We want to keep Clyde and Myrtle in our prayers and be in special prayer for Miss Myrtle as the doctors try and deal with this cancer that's in her lungs. And we do pray for her. And we pray for all of our shut-ins, all the sick, and all those that are dealing with coronavirus at this time. And we just pray that God would bless and work. And we pray for, there's a pastor that I read about recently who lost his wife. And his name's not coming to my mind, but we want to pray for him and his family. And we just want to pray for all churches right now and all those who are trying to remain faithful to God during this time. There's churches that are being persecuted right now, even in the United States, for trying to hold church services. And so we want to pray for those people who are trying to stay faithful to God and preach the Word. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in your house this evening. And thank you for letting us have this online service and be able to study your Word. And I do pray for those who have lost loved ones. I pray for Miss Shirley. I pray for her family and the homegoing of her sister. I pray for Bob's health. I pray for Andy Crafton. I pray for Miss Althea. Pray for Miss Lois. Pray for Joe. I just pray for Miss Virginia. I pray for all those that have been sick. I pray that you would give healing. I pray for Miss Myrtle. We pray for all those that need your touch this evening. We pray for this pastor that lost his wife. We pray that you'd comfort him. We pray for those that have COVID. We pray for recovery. We pray for the churches that are being persecuted, and we pray that you would give them wisdom and show them what to do. And we thank you for the freedom we have to meet together to worship here in our own state of Georgia. We pray for all the online services going on. Some are not comfortable meeting, and that's fine. And we pray for all the online services, and we pray that you would bless and work in those situations. And we thank you for that. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen. So we're looking at Paul's final greetings today, and the first verse we'll look at is verse 21. And Paul says, "Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you." Of course, Paul is in Rome. He's a prisoner in Rome. He's under house arrest. And he's writing to the saints in Philippi. The church at Philippi was the first church that Paul started in Europe. And it may well have been the first church ever started in Europe. And these saints had been faithful supporters and prayer partners and friends of Paul. And so Paul wanted to salute them all. He had a lot of friends and loved ones at the church at Philippi. So he gives a general greeting to all the saints. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. And then he says, the brethren which are with me greet you. Now, we don't know who all those brethren are, but traditionally, there are certain people that are associated with this. And so, Adam Clark says, those who were fellow laborers with him generally supposed to be Aristarchus, Mark, Justus, Epaphras, Luke, and Demas. And so, there's different opinions about this, but these are the people generally assumed and traditionally assumed to be with the Apostle Paul. So, salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. Then he says, all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. So, this is a really incredible statement. All the saints salute you. And he's talking about the saints in Rome. So there were many believers, even in that large pagan metropolis, this ancient pagan metropolis, Rome, Italy. And it's still a pagan metropolis. But Rome, Italy. And there were many saints there. And to all those saints in Rome, they send greetings to the Philippians. And so that shows you that even in large cities that are generally considered to be ungodly, that there are saints there, there are saved people there, and that God's doing a work even in the darkest places. And then he goes to an even darker place. He says, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. Now, this was not just any Caesar, but this was Caesar Nero, who was a wicked man and was known for persecuting Christians. Caesar was famous for this incident where he drove his chariot around his gardens while he burned Christians at the stake. And pagan writers even wrote about this, and even they were disgusted by it. So he was a disgusting and hated man. And when Rome burned, Caesar famously and legendarily was rumored to have burned Rome himself and then blamed the Christians for it. And there was a horrible Christian persecution, and Christians were arrested and fed to lions in the arena and burned at the stake, and all kinds of terrible things happened. But even in Caesar's household, there were Christians. There were saints. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. You know, recently, Clarence Sexton, when I went to college, Dr. Clarence Sexton was the president of our college and the pastor of Temple Baptist Church in Powell, Tennessee. And recently, Dr. Sexton was able to go to the White House. And he had become friends with Robert Trump. That's Donald Trump's little brother. And Robert Trump had heard a message, or actually seen a message by Clarence Sexton, it's my understanding, on YouTube. And he called him, and they became friends. And Robert started listening to the services at Temple Baptist Church. And Clarence Sexton talked to him, and Robert professed to be a believer, and he said he was praying for revival. And when he passed away, Brother Sexton's or Robert Sexton's wife called Clarence Sexton and wanted him to preach at the funeral. And so Clarence Sexton went to Washington, D.C., and it was a private funeral in the White House, but he was able to meet with the Trump family and comfort them, and then he was able to stand up, and they told him he could preach anything he wanted. So he preached the gospel. He shared the gospel. And it's an amazing thing that God opened that door through a YouTube video that he made, which was on a Bible that President Trump, the Trump family Bible that President Trump has in the White House. And so it was amazing that God opened the door to get into that place. And I'm not trying to preach on politics. Some people like the president and some people can't stand him. I'm not preaching on politics. What I'm saying is that look at the door that God opened even in the highest office in the United States for a preacher, a Baptist preacher, to go in and preach the gospel and comfort the family of the president. And so you see that God can open doors everywhere. It doesn't matter where you're at. You may think that there's no way. There's no way that God can open a door in this place. You may think that what stands before you is impossible. And there's no way that you can go through. There's no way that God can do that. And yet, God will make a way. God will make a way. God opens doors and He shuts doors. And He's able to do that. He can open doors. The Bible says that no man can open. And so God can open doors even in Caesar's household. Caesar Nero, the most pagan emperor that you can think of, even in Caesar's household, Paul had been able to lead some people to Christ. And there were saved people, saints, of Caesar's household. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. They were the chief people. They were the high ups. And they were members of Caesar's household, employees there, and yet they were able, they were saved. They were saved. And it's amazing. Paul's, look at where he's at. He's in prison. He's under house arrest, and yet he's able to win people to Christ in Caesar Nero's household. If God can do that, if God can open a door like that, what door is there in your life that God can't open? What door? What obstacle stands in your way that God can't move? God can get the gospel where He wants to get the gospel, and He can send you, He can do with you what He wants to. And so don't doubt God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. And that's what Paul, Paul who's writing this was a man of faith. And one time he was on a ship that was sinking, and it was going down, and they didn't know what to do, and Paul said, don't hurt anybody. Everybody's going to be saved. And he said, I believe God. God's told me this. And he said, I believe God that it'll be even as He told me. He was a man of faith. And this man of faith, even when he was down in a low place, he was locked up. He was under house arrest and he was facing a hearing before Caesar. And yet, in that place, he believed God. And God had done miraculous things. By the way, Jesus wanted to do great works in His hometown. And the Bible says He could not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. So God can do anything He wants, but He refuses to do mighty works if people don't believe Him. God doesn't save people who don't believe in Him. And so, Jesus allowed Himself to be limited by the unbelief of the people in His hometown. He could not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. We need faith today. We need faith. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. An amazing statement. Then Paul closes with his typical closing. He says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Now, he closes with grace because it's something we all need. It's something that all believers need, the grace of God. God's unmerited favor towards hell-deserving sinners. That's what we all need. We need grace from God. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And this is the greeting that Paul closed his epistles with. He closed them all with it. You know, 2 Thessalonians 3:17, Paul wrote, "The salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." And that's what he said in 2 Thessalonians 3:17. So Paul said, every single epistle that I write, I sign it. Now, we can look at the epistles, and Paul doesn't sign the end of all his epistles. Every epistle doesn't say, the salutation of Paul. The salutation of Paul. They don't all say that. But they all say, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. All of Paul's epistles. In fact, if we were to look in the book of Romans, in chapter 16, verses 22 through 24, you know, Paul oftentimes had scribes write the book for him. When he wrote the book of Galatians, he said, "You see what a large letters I've written with my own hand," because Paul whipped out some writing materials, and he wrote the book of Galatians himself in large letters. Some people think Paul had bad eyesight, but he wrote it because he wanted to make a point that they shouldn't distort the gospel, that they were going down the wrong path. And so he wrote the epistle in large letters in his own hand, but usually he used a scribe. And here in the book of Romans, he says, "I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord." So Tertius is the scribe. He's the one that had actually penned down the epistle. But then he says, "Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church, saluteth you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluteth you. And Quartus, a brother." There were some high officials, Erastus, the chamberlain of the city. And then, there were high officials that were being reached for Christ at that time. And then he says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." There's his common greeting. Now, here's the interesting thing. Paul says, in every epistle I write, I sign it. I write it with my own hand. I write this greeting with my own hand. And it's the token of every epistle I write. And here in Romans, "I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord." So Paul was not writing that with his own hand. Tertius was. Tertius was penning the epistle. But then we see the common greeting that Paul writes with his own hand in every single epistle. "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Paul did that in every epistle. And so sometimes when we think, well, Paul signed them all, but maybe his signature has been lost, and we don't have it anymore, but he signed them all. No, what he wrote every time was, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." In basically those words, he would give them grace and that final greeting in every one of his epistles. Now, nobody knows who wrote the book of Hebrews. Some people think Paul wrote it, and one of the big objections I've always had to that is the fact that he ended the book of Hebrews without signing it. He never said in the beginning or end, "This is from Paul." But the person who wrote Hebrews does end it with, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." That was Paul's greeting. Maybe Paul did write Hebrews. I don't know. I'm not saying he did. I'm just saying that I found it interesting in this study. So, Paul has his final greeting to the church, and he closes with grace, which is something that we all need. And then, some of the Bibles have, to the Philippians, written from Rome by Epaphroditus. Now, this is not inspired. In other words, this is not part of what we would call the Word of God, but these were closings that were put on the epistles that had been passed down, and they indicate who would have penned the epistle. And so in this case, to the Philippians, written from Rome by Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus was the man who had brought the offering from the church at Philippi to Paul. And now Paul is sending Epaphroditus back with this letter. And Paul loved these people, and he loved Epaphroditus. And it's interesting in our whole study of this letter that we have seen Paul's joy while he's locked up. He's locked up, and yet this church has sent an offering to him, a love offering. They've sent Epaphroditus to him. They've sent their love to him, and he knows that they care about him and that they want to help him at this time. And it cheered Paul up, and Paul writes a joyful letter that's full of joy in the midst of this prison cell. And the most joyful thing to Paul was that these people were maturing in the Lord, and that they were joyful in Christ, and that they were serving Christ, and that gave him great joy. And I hope during this time of COVID, when we're not able to get out and do what we could usually do. You know, I was talking to my aunt last night, and she's older. She's in her 80s, and she was talking about how, you know, she didn't really visit anybody. People aren't really coming to see her, and it's so different. And I hope in the midst of this thing, if you're sitting at home and you're not getting out and doing things like you used to, or if your church is not able to meet and you're having to do services online and all those kind of things, and even when we do meet, where it's not like it used to be. So in the midst of this, let's have joy in the Lord. Let's have joy in the Lord. Get in the Bible. Get in the Word. And study the Word. And share the gospel with people. You can't go door to door, but you can send a card, make a phone call, do FaceTime. You can share your Christian testimony and share the gospel. And let's be joyful in the Lord during this time. We may not have anything right now that we're happy about. Things may be pretty unhappy, but we can have joy in the Lord. God saved us, and God's given us the gospel. And Paul, in the midst of his prison cell, was joyful. And he wrote this joyful, hopeful letter of the book of Philippians. And we can get in the Word on a daily basis and pray to the Lord and experience God's joy in the midst of everything that's going on. Because God, who worked nearly 2,000 years ago in the Apostle Paul's life and in these New Testament saints' lives, that same God is working today in the church. He's working today. He's working in your life. He's working in my life. He's working in the church today. And we can experience that joy. May God bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these thy people. Thank you for the work you're doing in this place. I pray if anyone is not saved that you would convict them and save their souls. For we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen.